This is a Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cota, Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we are going to be talking about opportunities that arise from blogging, specifically speaking opportunities and various things that are coming out from our blogs and what other people seem to be doing that blogging has opened up for us, and then sort of a little bit about PR for our blogs as well. So we wanted to talk, Joni, I know last week you were speaking in Houston on a panel discussion with some other, you know, very well-known bloggers like Rhonda Carman from All the Best and Brad Ford from Design Therapy.
And Julian St. Charles, and she works with the HGTV blog. So, yeah, I was at the Design Center in Houston, and it was a panel discussion about mostly about how blogging and social networking can affect, you know, your business and how it does affect your business. And one interesting question was, would you promote someone on your blog that didn't have a website or an internet presence? And Jillian was emphatic about this. And she said no, that, you know, there are too many people with, if she Googles you and you don't show up, forget it. You're not going to be on HGTV's website, which I found really interesting because a lot of these designers in Houston don't have a website present.
No, that's true in Boston too, because I've been doing some social networking seminars, a whole series of them. And a lot of Boston designers don't have websites either. And it's just like, you know, you got to get it because that's interesting. HGTV would say that. And I would say for my blog, if someone pitches me a product and they don't have a website, well, I honestly can't say I even remember being pitched. No, I have been. I've gotten things in the at the post office, like a mail piece where someone's pitching me. And then I stand at the post office and look through the stuff. And unless it in and of itself is so fantastic that I think it's worth me carrying it home, if they don't have a website, I throw it out. Because it's too difficult.
Well, how would you get the pictures anyway? I'm sitting here trying to go through my head.
Sometimes they send a CD.
Oh, and then you're...
Well, they can send an email. You know, they email me pictures. Well, I do a lot of local houses, and, you know, I'll say, well, who was your designer? And I'll go, and the designer won't have a website. And... yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, I don't have a website, so who am I to say? The HGTV, she was like, nope, we're not going to have you on. Don't even bother. Get a website. Get some kind of presence. And everyone thought the easiest... Well, Brad Ford, who's a designer in New York, was emphatic about having a website presence. But he was saying, instead of doing a website, every company should have a Facebook company page. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about it, but it's true. You know, you can have a personal Facebook page, but every designer, architect, whoever, shop, you know, rug company, whatever company you have, you should have a company Facebook presence.
With your, and in it, you should have your projects by project so that people can...
Go and look at
your portfolio. It's really simple. Yeah, you just put it on under your images.
See, now that's interesting because we've talked about that in the seminars I was giving about the difference between the fan pages and then a personal page on Facebook. And I was kind of like, you know, if you're a designer and you don't have a big, huge, media presence where you're going to really already have fans, you know, like I don't have a fan page and I don't see me having a fan page on Facebook, but then I have my own website. I have a website and I have a blog.
It would probably be a good thing for you to do just a Facebook page with just your photos, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I have some of them on my personal page, and I just kind of use my personal page as my, it's, you know, it's all business people, really, and then friends and stuff. But I don't post a huge amount of personal stuff on it to begin with. So, but I definitely think if you didn't have a website, at least with the Facebook, I mean, you're still limited to the people who are on Facebook, but at least you can... you know, post some things, and some things can be viewed, you know, publicly with you know, people who are not your friends or no, if you have a fan page, obviously, they don't have to be your friend, but you can post things that you don't have to be a Facebook member, but I think it's limiting.
It's very simple. It's not, it's meant to just get the images quickly.
Right.
Yeah, but it, you know, it is important because if someone Googles you, there's somewhere to go if you're a business, right. You know.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, everyone says it now, if you're not online, there's something wrong with you. You know, I mean, it's you know, it sounds silly, but there was some article I read recently, and it was talking, you know, more about younger people, but, you know, just sort of like, you don't want to have all the pictures of your drunken brawls online, but you also don't want to have nothing, because then people wonder, well, what are you hiding? Because everybody's so online. And I think that if you're under a certain age, I think definitely you have to have a website, because if you're older, I think, and you already really already have a presence, you can still get away with it, because a lot of people will either already know who you are, or they'll be like, well, you know, they're of the older generation. They're established.
I have to say, something I've noticed a trend in a lot of the design online websites is that they're really busy. They're filled with music and slideshows that are, that are fading in and out, and I don't think that's necessary. That really drives me crazy. I think that people try to make them too fancy when really you just need to get, you can do them really cleanly and well designed without having all that busyness to it.
Yeah.
And I keep noticing that a lot. It seems more so in the interior design websites than anywhere else.
Well, I think
they have flash, you know, just, I hate that when the first screen is the flash screen and it takes you, you know, 5 minutes to go through this while it's loading. I hate flash, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny because Margaret Russell at West Week when she was here, when she was, you know, she was addressing the audience about websites, and she said, you know what, if you have on your opening page something, you know, a link that says skip this, the introduction, she said, then skip it. Then don't put that on your website, because no one wants to sit there and wait for that to load.
Right.
And it's true. I think that is one thing. I don't think it's just a bug of mine. I think it's, I think there is something to be said when you hire a web designer to make sure that it's really clean and easy to navigate.
Right. Well, I think that that's the example of the web designer throwing in all their pretty bells and whistles, you know, as opposed to.
And the music could probably.
Oh, the music is, I think the music just, nobody should.
We don't need to hear classical music playing with the slideshows of the work.
Well, I think that if you have a web, you know, music on your page, you definitely need to have at least have the on-off button, so that if I'm listening, I'm going to turn it off.
The on-off button has got to be easily found.
Yes.
Because these, let's even talk about blogs that have music on them. You know, because I'll be listening to my own music, you know, on my internet, and you know, I'll open a blog page, and then, you know, I've got three, you know, their music going, and you're trying to, now I will switch off a blog so quickly that has music on it, and especially when I can't find that button, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people embed them at the bottom of the page, which is really annoying. So we talked about online presence and HGTV adamant, and I'm sure others are too. I mean, you know, that are adamant that you have to have a web presence. What did Brad say as far as regular, you know, portfolio sites? He's, you know, that was his main point, was at least have Facebook.
Well, Brad has a huge Twitter presence, and he's got like
11,000
yeah. followers, which is unbelievable. But he's really into Twittering, and I am too. I don't Twitter a lot because I don't do a lot, you know, so I don't find my Twittering interesting. But to me, Twittering for business, it's so important because it's a constant advertising. And I'll be sitting at my computer and my tweet deck is in the background, and every time I get a tweet, I look at it. I mean, I glance up at it, and if it's a business with a link to, hey, new product or something, I'll link to it immediately and look at it.
But I will say, though, that when people follow me on Twitter and I link over to see who they are, if all they have are links to products, I don't follow them back.
I don't either.
You know, I need to, my friend Diane Danielson, who is the, she's a real social networking guru, and she has a philosophy that it's the 30-30-30-10 rule. 30% about your business, 30% about someone else's business. So 30% about yourself, 30% you share about some other someone else, like retweeting, that kind of thing. 30% interesting information that you might glean from other places, and 10% silly. You know, just the goofy, you know, margaritas anyone or red wine anyone, you know, those mm-hmm. things. Like me, I Twittered about, hey, did you know you if you burn tomato soup, it develops a nice smoky flavor, which I got a ton of comments on.
See, I think that people respond more to that because I think there's every one of us is a voyeur. And I think that we love peeking in on other people and seeing what they're doing. And I noticed that, you know, if someone posts random photographs, you know, what they're doing right then, even if I don't know the person that well, I'll look at the picture before I'll go to a link.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious. And I think there's that sort of peek.
Yeah, but okay, when you don't know sometimes if it's even going to be a picture or what the link is. If when I see that tiny URL, I will click at it a lot of times just to see what it is, you know.
Well, I'm usually on my phone. So do you just, you do it on your phone?
I'm usually on my computer.
Oh, yeah, I'm always Twittering on my phone.
So I think that's. So for me, if someone links to me and all they're doing is tweeting about their own business products, I won't follow them. If all they're doing is doing one type of tweet, I won't follow them. So if all they're doing is tweeting about, like, retweets, like I look down and all they're doing is retweeting other people, I won't follow them. You know, I personally really need to see the mix of a little bit of personal, a little
bit. Well, I think it's a really good place to show your personality, you know, to really, some of the people I follow all the time, Catherine Habel Construction Textiles is a fantastic social media person. She's very funny. She's a good writer, and she Twitters all the time, and she Facebooks all the time. And they're really more personal. Every once in a while, she talks about, you know, stuff that's going on in their business, or a photograph of someone carrying a product, maybe a purse made out of their fabrics or something like that. But I think she does an excellent job of. You really like her and you love their product, and you know, you start following along with her and you feel like you really get the essence of Habel Construction, what the company is. Did you all cover that? Opportunities that the blog has opened up, doors that it's opened up for you?
I was so nervous, y'all. I mean, I just have to be honest with you. I was so nervous, and I sat down and it was an hour and I had two major hot flashes. Like menopausal, sweating on the face. I mean, like full blown out hot flashes. And then, you know, then they make you nervous. Y'all are too young to experience that, but it kind of makes you nervous because you literally feel like you're on fire.
Does your face get red?
I don't know, but you literally feel like your body is on fire inside. And it's just an awful feeling. So it was kind of making me nervous. And I was just so nervous about the whole thing, and you know, my parents were there and Ben was there, you know, but anyway, so I was having trouble following it. But yeah, we did talk about, you know, how blogging really does. I think everybody experiences a boost to their ego or their self-esteem, no matter how little or big their blog is, don't y'all think?
Well, I definitely think it's opened up. I mean, I know for me, just the fact that I've been giving these social networking seminars, and I've been asked to do a teleseminar with a design group. Now I've been asked to do participate in the Junior League of Boston Uncommon Kitchens Tour, you know, and all of that's really come out of my blogging and sort of the presence I've created because of that. And so I'm giving, you know, more seminars and public speaking, which I'm comfortable doing. Now the thing I have to figure out is how to get paid for it. Because so far some of them have been paid, but some of them are, you know, unpaid. And, you know, how to either do it or not do it. Because they take all of these things, like I have to do two proposals with my bio and picture and, you know, the synopsis of what I'd be talking about. That's all so time consuming.
It really is. And if they can get you for free, they will.
Yeah. And, you know, the question is that going to, I suppose the more you do it, you have all that information ready to go to send to people. It's so time consuming to do something that you're not being paid for. And then is that going to help my design business? I mean, some of them will. Talking to other designers doesn't help my design business, but talking to the Junior League people may help, you know, those are potential clients. So,
well, I guess if you're, you know, if the point is to brand yourself, then sure, you know, maybe you're getting yourself out there, and you know, it's that tipping right. point theory. The more people that hear about you, then before you know it, yeah, I think it does help you for your business.
Now, Megan, I know you've been doing those your Blog Out Loud events all up and down California. Mm-hmm. What have those events been like, and what kind of people are
they're
coming?
Great. Well, I do it with Rebecca Orlov, who also has a blog called Loving Living Small, and she writes for Apartment Therapy. And we get like 200 people probably at each event. We've done them at Design Within Reach. We've done them at venues in San Francisco and down here in LA. Generally what we do is we have a panel of bloggers. They're not interior designers. They're usually creative design bloggers, but not just particularly interior designers. It's kind of interesting because you get a range. We have graphic artists. We do have people who are interior design bent, but not entirely. And we go through the panel and we do what we're doing now. We talk about the opportunities that have presented themselves, you know, from blogging, what inspired them to start a blog, how they keep their voice throughout, because, you know, we're not always 100%. No blogger is, you know, in any creative endeavor. You have your good times and you have your slower times. So, you know, finding your voice and all that. They're fun. It's a great, but again, we don't charge. And we have wine and goodie bags, and the goodie bags serve as a place for usually Etsy artists to promote their work. So that's another. We started it just really to help promote people. It came from a really altruistic place.
So that's what the sort of goal of doing those.
It kind of was, but then we started going, okay, now it's becoming an expensive hobby.
Yeah, yeah.
We're thinking that somehow we need to get it sponsored or something, because it's not, it does require a lot of time to put these, to produce these things.
Kind of like the skirted round table. This is an expensive
kind
hobby.
Kind of, yeah. Expensive hobby.
Sponsors welcome.
We just thought it was a great way to bring the creative community together here in LA, and then we've gotten such a good response that we went to San Francisco and did it, and we may be doing one in New York next. So I think people, and it's just such a positive environment. I mean, people who come know that they're coming to share, and we depend upon the audience a lot too to give us feedback. A lot of them are bloggers themselves, and they give us feedback as letting us know and ask us questions about how to blog and what they have found.
The final question was, give one piece of advice to the designers in the audience, manufacturers, what's a great way to get started online? And that we discussed that for a long time, actually. And that's when we talked about the importance of the Facebook, the importance of the website, the importance of Twitter, just the importance of the social media network. And, you know, it's something that the older generation doesn't understand at all. You know, they just don't get it. And the younger, like my daughter's generation, they're so in tune to social networking. And there's just a real generational gap.
I know that Vincent Wolf had mentioned that he has somebody that he actually does have, you know, write the post, but he runs it by him. It's sort of his ghostwriter.
Well, I think he dictates it.
He dictates it, yeah. So it is his voice, but that's one way. I noticed when I sat on the Schumacher, the Decorati Schumacher panel, we had some older designers in the audience, and they were saying the same thing, that wasn't, they don't, you know, they check their email occasionally. So by no means are they going to be sitting on Facebook and Twittering and that,
right,
posting blogs.
Well, that's what you get for the, I think, although they say the fastest growing population on Facebook are women like 45 to 55. So maybe it's changing. But yeah, I mean, that's usually the pushback I've gotten in my seminars, which, you know, I'm like, you have to read your email. You have to respond. You have, you know, tomorrow's client, tomorrow's 30 to 35-year-old, you know, client with a great job is today's 25-year-old who's done nothing but social media. And if you're not communicating with people the way they're used to being communicated with, you know, you really are going to lose out, I think. But I, you know, I get the pushback from people, oh, I don't know how you'd have time to do that. I wouldn't have time to do that. You know, and it's like, well, it doesn't take that much time. It can.
Well, I think that there are a lot of bloggers who started out, maybe they were advertising people who were laid off or that sort of thing, but they were young creatives who wanted an outlet for, you know, their design finds and their aesthetic and what they liked. And, you know, from that, they had a following. They developed a following. And from that, they actually developed a career in interior design. I know of a few people who, bloggers who, you know, were able to cultivate that from a design blog.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting. I mean, that's a huge opportunity. You know, I think that I don't think that those were people who necessarily started out thinking that that's where it would lead them, but it has.
Well, I think the queen of that is Grace Bonney from Design Sponge. I mean,
that's right.
She started out working in a PR firm as the little design, you know, PR girl in a PR firm, and started blogging on the, because she had made the contacts and was able to start blogging. She certainly, you know, giving design advice and doing lots of different things.
Victoria Smith, who has SF Girl by Bay, she is an ad person. And she, same thing. She does have a background in interior design. I think that's what she went to college for. But she professionally has been in advertising her whole life. And she does have a design blog. So, and we had a panelist, Janine Hayes, who has a blog called Afro Chic, and she has same thing, started out and not as an interior designer, and now that's what she does. And I believe that's what Cassandra Laval is doing now, Coco and Kelly. So those are all, you know, people who have developed careers out of blogging.
Yeah. One thing I found interesting is there was a major blog this week that after 3 years she threw in the towel. Of course, it was DeCorno. And on another blog, they were discussing DeCorno stopping. And this blogger said, well, what other blogs do you think should quit? And what I found interesting in the comments was someone mentioned a blog, a very famous big blog, actually, that talks about their remodeling of their house, you know, their projects. And someone said, well, I'm bored with their projects because now they're through remodeling their house and they keep recycling the same pictures over and over and, you know, like move on. Like, what are they going to do now? Do they have to move to a new house? You know, it's kind of interesting that when you get yourself a blog and you're so specific about your content, let's say your blog has to do with building your house. There's a lot of blogs out there that discuss buying the property up to the day they move in. And then what? What happens to their blog afterwards?
I see. I think most of those people just fade away. Some don't. I mean, some don't. I've seen a couple that, you know, they just keep, you know, they do more and more. But I think some of the people, you know, it was fun to do and then...
Those are more like a story because they have a beginning, a middle, and the end, you know, and then it's done.
But they don't end it because they're locked into that self-gratifying feeling that you get and all the, positive comments, and they don't quit. They continue with their blog. But I just think it's interesting when you are blogging, if you pin yourself down to a specific remodeling of your house or the building of your house, when it's over, you run the risk of losing your audience. So
I think that there's always a new audience out there. I feel that no one has to look at the blog. So, you know, if those people are like, okay, he or she's still doing these posts about these same projects, we've seen them, you know, then they'll probably lose those people. But there are millions of people out there who've never even seen the blog to begin with, so they may be new. So there's a whole new generation.
Well, that's true. But they were just saying that this particular blog, you know, like, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, okay, but I don't know who that commenter was, but, you know,
it's not a blog I personally read, but...
You know, and I guess what I would say is that, you know, they do run the risk of losing, and they probably will lose their audience if they're not able to grow and change, and then that's fine. I mean, that's what happens. They do just...
And what's wrong with that, if they do?
There's nothing...
So you move on... You mean, they could close it down, start up a new blog and something else.
Or they don't blog at all, you know, but, you know, eventually people just sort of fade away, because, like everything else, blogs come and they go. And that's just...
I have a friend who's a creative blogger who, she's a blogger friend, and she, I don't know how, she had a blog called More Ways to Waste Time. And it was a general design blog. It was really good. And she just got done with it. She was just finished, I think, maybe last fall. One day she said, I'm done. You know, kind of what DiCorno did. And she told me the other day that she gets as many hits, continued to get as many hits as she did when she was actively posting. So there's always new audiences. I mean, you're being seen on Google, you know, your images are coming up. There are always new people, a new audience, yeah, a new audience out there for you.
Right.
Who have not seen you before. And that's why it's so funny when people go, oh, it's time to, you know, this person needs to shut it down. Well, they don't have to go to the blog anymore. How about that?
Right, if you're bored, stop reading the blog. Now, I have a good example.
No, it's just my point. It's just my point. Is it something to think about? If you're starting up a blog, maybe don't, you know,
limit yourself.
Yeah, into one particular topic and, you know, your house. And, you know, so that's just my thought.
Well, I guess it depends on why you're blogging. You know, and that that's just a personal thing. Now, I do have a great example of someone who has parlayed their blog into great things, and that's Jennifer Bowles. She's just released the new House Beautiful book, written by Jennifer Bowles. Or it's soon to be released. You know, there's someone who's parlayed her little Atlanta blog to what looks to be a...
Well, I think everyone respects her blog, and respects her as a person, and... She kind of is the class, you know, the classiest of blogging. She exemplifies class in blogging. She's never made a misstep. She, you know, I mean, she's just wonderful, and she deserves everything she gets.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. But, you know, it's a great example of she's done a great job with her blog, and that's opened up a lot of really great doors. I mean, doors may open for you if you don't have a huge amount of talent, but you don't walk through them.
Well, you know, about Jennifer, another thing is when I started blogging, I would look at her writing and I think, oh my gosh, she's just such a good writer, you know, and that's something that so many bloggers aren't, you know, and I'm not saying myself included, you know, but I would just be envious of her ability to write. So she was able to parlay that to a job with House Beautiful because she actually had the talent,
right. And I guess my point being that job with House Beautiful probably never would have come had she not put herself out there on her blog. So it shows, you know, the things that are coming out of blogging or whatever that, you know, you're able to publish yourself and get yourself the attention of other people.
You know, Linda, I do wonder how many people that have blogs have not had positive outcomes from them. I bet it's very few, or they don't feel positive about their blog. I think all of us have gained so much from our blogs. It's really unbelievable. And I wonder if that's probably must be typical. Wouldn't you think that's typical?
I would say no. I mean, I think it depends on how you're defining positive experience. Finding a community of people who appreciate and are passionate about the same things you do and developing a networked community, that's the thing almost everybody has probably found. But I don't know that everybody has found, you know, career advancement through it, or a lot of people don't want career advancement. You know, they're happy just putting out their own content and showing off whatever they're showing off. So I wouldn't say it's a huge number.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are definitely bloggers who have agendas, and then there are people who are doing, their agenda is just to have an audience who agrees, you know, not agrees with them, who appreciates the same things that they do,
right,
who gets excited about the same things that they do.
But by agenda, you're not saying that in a negative way.
I am not. That is not meant to be pejorative in any way. Let it be duly noted.
I'm just defining that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. You've got my back.
Right. Because I do think when you say an agenda, to me it seems like more of a, well, she has an agenda. You know, it's a hidden agenda.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of us started our blog. I mean, you know, I started my blog to promote my business, but I didn't have it. That was not a hidden agenda. It was a very public agenda.
I don't mean that in a way, in a negative way at all. I think
there's a goal. It's goal setting. You know, people have goals.
Yeah. And if you're putting a blog on your website, your professional website, then clearly your agenda is to help people get to know you better.
Right.
And to see you from a different, you know, see you more dimensionally.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Cote de Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. Thank you so much for joining us. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com or download our podcasts from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks again, and we'll be back soon.